Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. In the studio this afternoon to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Doug Tooman, a very popular guest on this program. All the lines get lit up without question, and they will today. So if you want to get in, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in the Kingston area for more than 30 years. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery, a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner. A timely guest, given that today is the Boston Marathon. Dr. Tooman, thank you and welcome back to the Vox Pop to participate in today's discussion. 1-800-348-2551, and there they go. 1-800-348-2551. You can also check in with your questions and comments at online at wmc.org/VoxPop, on Facebook at facebook.com/WMC Radio. Tweet us at WMC Radio using the hashtag VoxPop or email voxpop@wamc.org. The best way to do it is just get on the computer and email us something at voxpop@wamc.org. Okay, so my good friends, let's talk a little bit about things and how they are. A lot of ticks around, right, Doug?
There are a lot of ticks around. It is getting to that season. So, and it's good to be back. I've missed you. You know, everybody says, when are you going to be back on the show? How's Alan doing?
So. Yeah. Well, you have some exciting news. You're going to be opening an office in Albany.
We are very excited, I have to say. Alan, a lot goes back to the show and being a guest on the show. We've had so many people travel down to the lower Hudson Valley to come see us when they've heard us in the show. And because of that, they've always said, can you come up to Albany? And we are coming. Coming to Albany in May. So we're going to be happy to serve the patient population of the Capital District, live in the Capital District, coming just a few weeks. So we're excited about that.
Well, that's great. So tell me about ticks. You get many tick people coming in with on their feet?
Not ticked off people, but
no.
Happy people. But yeah, I actually have unfortunately taken ticks off of feet. Patients didn't know they had them on after a weekend in the garden or the grass. Lodged between toes, just really challenging. But what you do see a lot of around the Hudson Valley in this area are a lot of patients who suffer with advanced Lyme disease. So certainly as we get into the season, take precautions. Check yourself, check your kids. And if you have any suspicious symptoms of a bite or just of fatigue or anything, make sure you get checked out because you want to catch it early.
1-800-348-2551. You got four free phones, and you won't see that for long. Let's go to Audrey in Schenectady. Okay, Audrey, you're on. Hello, Audrey. Audrey. I have a feeling Audrey's not listening to the rules. The rules are you can't listen on the radio. You have to listen when you're holding the phone to your ear. So, Audrey, we're sorry. We're going to have to let you go.
I can talk about her question, though, if you
like. Okay, what is her question?
I know she had asked about an ulcer between her toes.
Yep.
So let me just address for Audrey, if you are listening on the radio. An ulcer is a hole that gets through the skin. And when it gets through the skin, of course, you have an open wound. It's very common in diabetics to get foot ulcers, which can lead to loss of a toe or a foot, unfortunately. We unfortunately see that a lot. But between the toes, you don't have to be diabetic. You can just have irritations, rubbing, and it can start as a corn, and it can become infected. It can become very painful. So it's very important to seek professional care if you have an ulcer or a wound or pain between the toes so it doesn't get infected. We've unfortunately had to put people in the hospital because of infections between the toes that travel up the foot, causing a cellulitis. So please don't treat them yourself. get care. Sometimes they start from athlete's foot between the toes. Sometimes they start from corns or irritations. But an ulcer is a serious challenge that can lead to infection and even more serious complications. So
Audrey should do what? She should go,
to a podiatrist, professional that deals with feet to find out how to get rid of that ulcer, heal it, and make sure it does not come back. In the meantime, keep your toes between the toes very dry, and make sure you dry between the area after shower or bath, and make sure that you don't see any infection or discharge coming from it. Otherwise, you have to go to the ER.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the ER, great doctors that they are not specialists, and you guys
are,
right?
We share a lot of patients with the ER when they send them to us, or unfortunately they get to the ER because of emergencies, but you'd rather be seen in the office before it becomes an emergency.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Okay. We're looking forward to hearing from you because it's your show. and now I'm going to go to line number two, whether I like it or not. Okay. From Diane from Albany. All right. Diane, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have been diagnosed with fallen metatarsals because I wore high heels for 40 years, stupid girl. Yes. What I want to know from the doctor is, because I have a lot of commitments this summer, would it be a bad idea to wait until November to have the surgery that the doctor says I need? Or can I just wear my Birkenstocks, because when I wear those, I have no pain at all?
Well, great questions, Diane. Let me just, if I could, while I have in the line, you're not a diabetic, correct? And you have no wounds in your foot, I assume?
No.
Okay, good. And I love your dialect. It sounds so wonderful on the phone.
Oh, thank you. It's Australian, believe it or not.
I couldn't tell, but it's absolutely fabulous. So fallen metatarsals, let me talk about what that is for people that are listening in. We have bones up in the ball of our foot. As a matter of fact, we have 26 bones in each foot. And both feet represent over 25% of all the bones in our body, in our feet, which is quite a high number. And that means a lot of things can go wrong. And because we're always on our foot, and because women sometimes wear high-heeled shoes for many years like you have, and gravity can take effect, the bones can, like anything else, fall a little bit. And that ends up, along with losing the cushioning on the ball of your foot, once the bones start to drop a little bit, you end up with more pressure and more pain in the ball of your foot, which can lead to calluses and difficulty walking. And there are a lot of conservative therapies that can be done, as well as surgeries. So if the surgery is going to be done, of course, you can put it off as long as you can physically put it off. So whether that's just wearing more comfortable shoes or putting up with the pain until November, that's probably a good idea. You don't want to have surgery and be out around the globe and gallivanting and not healing as well as you could. So you should put it off until you're comfortable and wear whatever comfortable shoes you have.
So Diane, why did you wear high heels, if I may ask?
Oh, because I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and you would have been considered a very peculiar girl if you didn't wear high heels.
Yeah.
Everybody did, and they looked cool, and they were beautiful.
I agree.
Unfortunately, I was a teacher, and I was on my feet all day, so I probably should not have worn high heels to work, but
you did.
I liked them. I thought they looked cool. Even though I was 5'9" and a half, I still wore 3-inch heels and
cool.
Didn't care.
Okay, Diane, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
Both.
Okay, and we'll go to Nan in New Paltz. Go ahead, Nan. You're on.
Hi. How are you? And thanks for taking my call. I have extremely flat feet. I was born that way. I've been wearing orthotics for probably 20 or 25 years. And I've had a couple of injuries, I'd say, like traumas to my right foot. And by the way, I haven't worn high heels in many years. I wear great sneakers with great orthotics. But I have severe arthritis, particularly in my right foot. I just had x-rays last week because my foot is so painful that sometimes it's quite hard to walk. So I'm just wondering, the doctor who I saw didn't... There's not really much he said that I could do other than rest my foot a lot when it bothers me, or, you know, take Advil, soak it in cold water, rest mostly, but I'm just wondering if you have any other ideas.
Sure. Dan, let me just ask you a few questions. How old are you now, if I may? I know you're not supposed to ask a lady.
Yeah, sadly. I'm 60.
60, okay. And you're very active? You like to be active in the past?
Well, I have been very active until about a year ago. I also just, about 6 months ago, I had a hip replacement.
Okay.
Joints are like the vulnerable point in my family. So.
Sure. So
I'm very loose jointed.
Let me just ask you one or two more quick questions here.
Sure.
What kind of arthritis? Is it rheumatoid or wear and tear degenerative arthritis?
It's degenerative wear and tear.
And all over your foot or just?
A lot
okay.
All over my foot.
So here's the thing about arthritis: it can be very debilitating. You're only 60. You have your best years ahead of you. You want to be as active as you can. There's always things you can do for arthritis, and there are surgical fixes. Arthritis is wear and tear of the joints, and just like a hip or knee can be fixed, a foot can be fixed too. There are different ways to fix it. It's a different type of a foot joint. There are many joints, but usually it's isolated to a few joints that can be fixed either by putting the joints together or by doing things to eliminate the motion in that joint. So whether it's treated conservatively or surgically, I really think there's more that you can do for arthritis in your foot, especially for a young 60-year-old that wants to be active.
Isn't that cool the way he said that, Nan? A young 60-year-old.
I love that. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so
Nan,
so
Nan, dear, we have to take a break. I hope you understand, but we're going to have to let you go, okay?
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to take a short break here.
Support comes from Nathan Lantower Hospital, welcoming Dr. Alvarez, a gastroenterologist specializing in diseases of the digestive system, practicing in their new endoscopy center in Johnstown, New York, accepting new patients, NLH.org. Berkshire Bank, providing banking, insurance, and wealth management with over 90 locations in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Vermont. Berkshire Bank, America's most exciting bank, berkshirebank.com. The Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting a range of programming for the arts and community, thelinda.org. Bard College Master of Arts and Teaching Program, offering one-year full-time and two-year part-time master's degrees and teacher certification. Accepting applications through April 30th, teaching what matters, bard.edu/MAT. And from Washington County Fiber Tour, 15 fiber farms and a fiber mill open for tours Saturday, highlighting fiber arts and animals, washingtoncountyfibertour.org.
And we are back. Thank you to Zachary, who is at the controls. I was diagnosed with bursitis, says Allison, in one heel about a year ago. I've had 3 cortisone injections in that time, but it keeps coming back. I know I can't get these injections forever. How can I get rid of this once and for all?
Good question. The heel is probably the most painful condition we treat, part of the foot that we treat. It's just like a heel pain epidemic world these days. And whether it's a bursitis or a plantar fasciitis, there's many things that can cause heel pain, Alan and Allison, I believe. So probably get another look. Sometimes you need an MRI to see if there's a stress fracture or other issues. Orthotics are long-term treatment for this. And we do some procedures in our office called ESWT, which cure long-term heel bursitis and plantar fasciitis. So there are ways to get rid of it. So seek a good podiatrist that has some curative modalities for you, and hopefully we can get you back cured of your bursitis once and for all.
Great. Okay, let's go to Judy in New Paltz. All right, Judy, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Well, if you could speak a little louder and a little closer.
Okay.
Much better.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Well, my problem is this. I am a very active, newly minted octogenarian, and I like to hike, and I ski and bike and so forth. And the problem is that the only activity that has a problem is when I'm walking, because the bottom of my right foot, the ball part of the foot, has a callus, a hard callus on it that periodically I have to go to my podiatrist, who scrapes it, sort of, who shaves it.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a couple of months at least, maybe 2-3 months, it's okay, and then it gradually grows mm-hmm. back. He said it's a viral growth. It mm-hmm. used to be also on the outside of my foot and seemed to go away. It doesn't. It's not on my left foot, just the right. And this time, it started to hurt very soon after the last time, and I'm not sure if there's something I can do about it in the drugstore. By the way, Medicare does not consider this kind of foot care as anything but cosmetic, which is ridiculous because if you can't walk, you know, everything else happens.
Absolutely. You know, so, the quickest way to...
Okay, Judy, let's get an answer here. Go ahead,
yeah. Congratulations on Fourscore,
okay.
by the way.
Sure,
you live in a,
sure,
great,
sure,
live
sure.
in a great place for hiking out okay. down in New Paltz. And
yep.
You want to be out there and be active. And you know, the pain in the ball
yeah.
of the foot, it's
very... I mean, I do
it's
it anyway.
Hey, Judy, hold on a second. Let's get an answer. Okay, go ahead, Doc.
So, Judy, the best thing to do is seek another opinion because obviously you're frustrated with the every 2-3 month treatments and it didn't last as long this time. There are shoes, whether it's shoe modifications, in-shoe orthotics that can offload that spot or ways to eliminate that that can cure you potentially or minimize the pain. But you're right, it is a frustrating thing, and this is something that should not be considered routine. It should be a medical treatment. The ball of the foot, you have all those metatarsal bones. One of them is probably dropped or plantar flexed, similar to one of our earlier callers. So there's always things you can do. Wear thick-soled shoes, get some good cushions, and see an additional foot specialist and see what they can do for you.
Is there any over-the-counter kind of product or cushion that would help?
There's many over-the-counter cushions, and I don't know that they're going to do that much for you based on what you're telling me about every 2-3 months. But certainly whatever can cushion your foot is going to be helpful for you. It's just mm-hmm. that you probably want to get something that's going to offload that spot the best that it can. And probably someone that works with it all the time is going to be your best bet. But you can try a Dr. Scholl's product or what you find in the pharmacy, but try a real doctor as well.
And of course, for those of us who get up in the middle of the night and turn on the television, there's always some model running something over the bottom of her foot, watching all the flakes.
What channel are you watching?
Go off. The Me I watch the Me channel with all the old shows on it.
That's so nice.
Hey, Judy, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Right. Okay, let's go to Beth in Schenectady, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Beth, you're on.
Hi, two-part question. On my right big toe, I, in the last year, have gotten, on the inside of the toe, a bony growth. And I wondered, why all of a sudden does this happen? And is there anything that can be done about it? The other question is, my right ankle rolls in, and my physiatrist thinks it's affecting the knee and the pain that I have in
sure.
the knee and instability. Is that problem a podiatric problem or a orthopedic problem?
Well, great. It could be both. And, Beth, it's a great question. Let me start with the ankle turning in. You know, you're at the old saying, your foot bone connected to the ankle bone and so on and so forth, the leg bone. They're all connected, and if you just sit down or stand up and turn your foot in, you'll see that your knee turns in, your hip turns in. So when your ankle turns in, it will definitely affect the knees, and all the Boston Marathoners today are experiencing that firsthand. And if you control the foot from the bottom up with a really good pair of orthotics that holds you a little bit straighter and doesn't let your ankle turn in, that should, in effect, help your knee and or hip problems as well. And that's something I would certainly look into. Where is the bony growth again on your foot?
On the inside of the right toe. It sticks out and affects the inside of the second right toe. So there's a huge callus growing there on my second toe.
So it's between the big toe and the second toe? Is that where the growth is?
The bony growth is on the big toe on the inside in between the two toes.
Okay. Yeah, that just call it a bone spur, a calcium deposit. And, yes, things do show up in life that ordinarily weren't there. There's an old rule that says anything in the body that's stressed will grow. If you lift weights, you get bigger muscles. Eat too much food, you get a bigger tummy. If two bones rub on each other, the one bone is going to get bigger over time, and that's called a bone spur, a calcium deposit. And it happens just a lot to a lot of people, and that can be either protected or shaved or whatever we need to do to get that bone spur to minimize. But in the meantime, put some cushions, pads between the toes, Vaseline, whatever you can think of to separate the toes and reduce the friction, and hopefully that'll feel better. But do seek a good podiatrist, and Look for a good pair of orthotics that can hold your ankle. It'll help a lot of other things, too.
Can you operate on calcification?
Yes,
you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you said shaved, you meant like shaving the bone?
Potentially on the inside, yes. We have simple procedures that'll shave that off, and if necessary, get rid of that. If not, we just keep it and protect it, but lots of times it's nice to get rid of it.
Thank you, Beth. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Let's go to Bob in Holland Patent. Okay, Bob, you're on.
Yes, I have a growth and swelling. I don't know. It's been there for some time, quite a few years, behind my second toe, not the big toe, but the one next to it, and the ball of the foot. And since then, that second toe has taken an abrupt turn to the right, and both conditions make it... make it more uncomfortable to walk.
Sure.
Because I had poor circulation in my right leg 3 years ago, I had a stent put in to restore the circulation to my right leg, and now it's supposedly it's very good, but my doctor is still reluctant to do any surgery to straighten the toe or the ball of the foot.
Sure.
Have any recommendations?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a challenging one because you've had poor circulation, but now it's improved. You know, if your circulation is open, then the vascular surgeon clears you. There's no reason you can't have your toe fixed. So if one doctor won't do it, as long as the vascular doctor says the area will heal, there's no reason not to seek another surgical opinion. Second opinions can be good, Bob. There are dislocation syndromes. We call them PDS or predislocation syndromes, where all of a sudden the tendons don't hold the joints and the joints subtly dislocate. And it does become swollen and painful, and it sounds like you have one of those dislocating metatarsal joints where the toe joins the foot, and it either needs to be accommodated with protective padding or orthotics, or it would need to be fixed to straighten it out and bring it back in line to get rid of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Bob, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
1-800-348-2551, one free phone. Let's go to George in Pittsfield. But not before I have read you one of the emails. Could podiatry offer any help to a very stubborn venous ulcer on the inside of the left ankle? I am not diabetic, an active person, have tried hyperbaric treatments, compression with various potions, have had PVC tests and show minimally compromised veins, and after 3 years, the ulcer is improved in terms of depth, but not healed.
Right. Challenging. Ulcers are challenging on the inside of the ankle. Those venous stasis ulcerations are often caused by an incompetent vein or pressure or trauma to the bone that sticks out there. A recommendation is a wound center. Find a wound center in the area that deals specifically with wounds, especially with one that hasn't healed in that amount of time. And I think they can offer you the latest wound dressings and materials to potentially heal that ulcer.
Is that better than going to a podiatrist?
Well, I think in this case, because she's had it for so long and she's tried many things, hyperbaric oxygen treatments.
I get it.
You know, so I think if it was off the bat, office visit would be great. But right now, there are some things called Una boots that can be applied weekly to heal these venous stasis ulcerations and other wound stuff that you can find at wound centers or a good podiatrist that deals with wounds in their office. Either way is great.
Cool. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Okay, we'll go to, who hung up? I don't get it. Let's go to, what line was that on? That was on, okay. Go to George in Pittsfield. Okay, George, you're on.
Good afternoon. I have a 16-year-old daughter who runs cross country and track in high school. And she has a big bunion on her right foot, which she's nicknamed Paul. And
there are only a few of us of the right age, George, who will know what you're talking about.
Paul Bunyan.
Okay. At any rate, she can run, but there are times where it really pains her, and she tells me that she ends up running on the outside of her foot. She did see a podiatrist a couple years ago. He didn't think it warranted any type of surgery at the time, plus he saw enough growth plate in the x-rays to say that wouldn't be a good idea. But is she risking any injury down the road or anything like that if she runs on it, or is this just one of those things she's going to have to deal with for a while?
A good question, George. And, of course, we want every 16-year-old to be out there and be active, so I would encourage you to keep running. just make sure the shoes are as wide as you can. Certainly at 16, the growth plates in the female are going to be potentially closed at this point. I would take her after school is over, maybe the summer, for another opinion. If she already has a large, painful bunion at 16, we call those a juvenile hallux valgus deformity. We fix them all the time. They're much more common than you think. She has relatives and genetics that make this hereditary. It's nothing she did to deserve it. My daughter had her bunion fixed last summer, and she has a great result. She's back wearing high heels and all dress shoes, and she is now just ended her teens. So certainly it's something that I would get another opinion. 14 to 16, things change a lot, and if she has a friend that already has a nickname, it may be time to thinking about getting that removed maybe this summer or soon.
George, I've got to let you go. We got five people on the phone. I want to give
you
a chance. Thanks a lot. Yep. Okay, let's go to Franklin in Corinth. Okay, Franklin, you're on.
Yes, doctor, wondering if you're familiar with, and if so, what you think about a surgical procedure on the, it's basically ankle going under the foot, called a flexor hallucis longus release.
Yeah, I mean, who is it for, and what is the indication?
It's for me. For 10 years, I was diagnosed with, I have a lot of pain in my foot, and the doctor wanted to do the release. I haven't done it, and I'm just, no other doctors ever really talked to me about it.
Well, it's a tendon that runs in the back of your ankle all the way down to the bottom of your big toe and is responsible for moving your big toe up and down, and there are injuries that can affect, like when you injure your ankle, it's one of the injuries that don't always show up where that tendon can get injured. Before I would release it, I would make sure that it's indicated. Usually it gets repaired, not necessarily released. If the tendon is torn, ruptured, or injured, we usually try to repair it first because it will have an effect on your foot if it's just released. Sometimes it does not in other tendons under your toes, but this one is your big toe. So you want to make sure there's indication. I would seek second opinion before you had that. Obviously, the pain is coming from somewhere, and you'd want to make sure an MRI was done to see if this tendon is at all pathological and shows up on an MRI as being something that's abnormal because there's other reasons, and it's just not a commonly done procedure. So I'm not sure that I can recommend something like that over the phone.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that. And I know you have a lot of people on the line. If I could be very quick on one thing, if you could just give me your take, and everybody has their own ideas, but according to him, it was that the FHL, according to him, it was something that the caveman needed back when he was on his knuckles, and to release it is to lose nothing, say, similar to tonsils.
That could be true. I'm not sure if the doctor is from the caveman days or not. I don't know, so I don't want to. I don't want to comment on that. But there are a lot of things that we can lose from our bodies, whether it be appendix or gallbladder, and even release of some tendons that can leave you perfectly fine. I just don't know in your case if that is the case.
Thank you, Franklin. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's go to Tommy, our old friend Tommy in Neversink. How you doing there, Tommy?
I'm fine, thank you. I dropped a rock on my foot like 9 months ago. I went to a podiatrist. We did an x-ray. It was negative. And they did an MRI even. And no break in the bones, but I still have pain after 9 months. They sent me to physical therapy. That didn't really help. I wonder what's going on.
Well, it's a good question. What part of your foot is it, Tommy?
Left foot on the top that hurts.
Near the big toe joint or just in?
No, up. More on top of,
we're on top of the arm. All right, there's a lot of things that can happen there, and you may need a CT scan or other imaging modalities to see if you have an injured joint in the middle part of your foot, near the top of your foot. Those joints, there's a lot of them, and it's very difficult to see on x-ray if you've damaged one of them. So you may need a CT scan, follow-up MRI, or even a bone scan potentially to further image that. You may have developed some post-traumatic arthritis in one of those joints, and it is important for you to get follow-up. If 9 months of still having pain is there, I would do a follow-up evaluation on that. You shouldn't have pain after 9 months, so you want to make sure you didn't injure the joint, have a arthritic change in there, injure a tendon, injure a nerve on top of the foot. That's another thing that can happen that wouldn't show up on imaging. So second opinion and more testing. Don't leave it hanging because it's not going to get better.
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate your call. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. So if your name is Rick or John or Dwight or Dick, just stay there. We'll be right with you.
Support comes from Ellis Medicine, providing comprehensive inpatient and outpatient health care in Schenectady and southern Saratoga counties. EllisMedicine.org. Ashokan Center, retreats, conferences, family celebrations, and school programs. A classroom in the wild, AshokanCenter.org. The Yiddish Book Center, Amherst, Massachusetts, hosting a community open house Sunday, gallery talk and opening of Echoes from the Borscht Belt, contemporary photographs by Marissa Scheinfeld, YiddishBookCenter.org. Eagle Hills School, Hardwick, Massachusetts, college prep, boarding and day school for students with learning disabilities and ADD, featuring a five-week summer session, EHS1.org for info. And from The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com.
Dr. Doug Tooman with us today, and every phone has been ringing off the hook. Doug, I know you're moving your practice. You're not moving it, but you're going to open up an office in Albany any day now. And what is the way people get in touch with you?
Thanks for asking. The easiest way is to get to our website, which is four letters, HVFA.com. That stands for Hudson Valley Foot Associates.com, HVFA.com, and people can get all the information there to reach us, and we'll be open in just a few weeks in Albany.
Very quick question. Could you talk about non-surgical solutions for bunions? Can yoga toes and or toe splints work?
Great question. Most people have non-surgical treatment for the bunions until they're ready to fix it, and that includes shoes, wider shoes, and still wider shoes, summer shoes, moving to warmer climates, we don't have to wear shoes, paddings and things like that. Yoga toes, they help make toes feel better. They're things you put between the toes, and a lot of people like them. They don't fix bunions or cure bunions, but they stretch out the ligaments and do seem to give people some comfort. But it really depends on shoes and shoes and shoes, and also making sure you don't have arthritis in the joint as well.
So. Okay, we're going to try to answer as many of these as we can. Let's go to Rick. Okay, Rick, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes, I have. I've been diagnosed with cartilage gone in the left side of my left ankle, and I'm wondering what the options are. My podiatrist used to think that artificial ankles are not really successful, and I was wondering what options there are to deal with it.
Rick, how much pain are you having? You have a lot of pain, medium pain, little pain?
Well, it's constant, especially toward the end of the day. I have to move around and walk and everything.
And
it's
age?
Chronically swollen for about 2 years now.
Age?
68.
Okay. So just briefly, there's obviously, you probably have tried already cortisone injections in the ankle. If you haven't, I would certainly try cortisone injections as the first step. They can be very helpful. Certainly with cartilage damage, cartilage is the protective cap on any joint where two joints meet. And if your cartilage is missing, you have bone-on-bone contact. That's what arthritis is. And the options, we do a lot of scopes in the ankle, arthroscopic surgery, where you can either clean out or drill the cartilage in hopes of getting what's called a pseudocartilage. That's done commonly in the knees these days for professional athletes. Also, after that, there are two surgical procedures after cortisone injections and after arthroscopy. One is the ankle replacement you talked about, and the other is ankle fusion. Replacements have come a long way. They're becoming much more popular. They're only necessary for those that have the worst cases. You haven't even tried cortisone injections yet or scoping the ankle, so I certainly would do that first. And then a fusion of the ankle is where you actually put the bones in the ankle all together as one, very effective in eliminating pain. So there are things that you can still do, and I think that just because you have cartilage damage doesn't mean that you can't be helped, and those procedures can eliminate chronic pain. Better to try something than have chronic pain where you have 2 years of swelling, Rick. So go to somebody that deals with foot and ankle and look into arthroscopic surgery, cortisone injections, and then move up the ladder from there.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll go to John in Delmar. John, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much, doctors. For about 5 years now, I've had some discomfort under the balls of my feet. It feels like socks are balled up even when I'm not wearing shoes. I've done some internet research, which has led me to think it's something called Morton's neuroma,
yep.
What it sounds like. What is it, and is it going to be worsening as I get older? Could it be debilitating, and what's the best option for treatment?
And how old are you, John?
I'm 57.
Okay. So, Morton's neuroma is an irritated nerve in the ball of the foot. Your description of that balled up sock or numbness or pain rating to the toes, that is consistent with a neuroma, usually between the third and fourth toes in the ball of the foot or the second and third toes. Treatments are initially conservative, cortisone injections and other injection therapy, inserts, paddings, orthotics underfoot, and surgical procedures. We do two procedures for that. One is called a neurectomy, where you take out the bad portion of the nerve. It's not a motor nerve. It has no effect on the motion of the toes. And the other is cryosurgery, which is also something we do frequently, which freezes the nerve without taking the nerve out. In answer to your question, it can be very painful. It's not debilitating. It can worsen. And if it worsens, you can always seek treatment. You're not burning any bridges by living with it. But certainly at any point that you want to get it treated, you deserve pain relief. So that's what I would recommend.
Thank you so much for the direction. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks, John. 1-800-348-2551. Dwight in Saratoga. Go, Dwight.
Hello. Yes, I am 60 years old. I have some diabetic neuropathy in my feet. I also have a bunion, which is large enough to have its own zip code on my right foot, which is kind of scrunching up the toes some. What is neuropathy, first of all, and what can be done about the bunion?
Okay, Dwight, so how long have you been diabetic? How many years?
Four or five.
Insulin or pills?
Both.
Okay. So just briefly, diabetic neuropathy is damaged nerves from elevated blood sugars extended periods of time. And it's uncommon in people that are not diabetics unless they have back problems. There are some other reasons, but if you're diabetic, that's probably the source of your neuropathy. And it can stabilize, it can slightly improve, or it can worsen. And bottom line is, the better your blood sugar control is, the better chance you have of not getting worsening neuropathy. So basically, it's damage to nerve endings. Your bunions and your other deformities can and should be looked into for fixing them. We are very aggressive with our diabetics because once somebody gets neuropathy and or poor circulation later in life, you're only 60, you could be led to ulcerations and diabetic complications. So we do like to look at fixing those things. So as long as your circulation is good, we get rid of bunions. They can be fixed. Toes can be straightened. Bunions can be removed permanently. They don't come back. The new surgeries for bunionectomies are much better than the old-time surgeries, and patients do so much better. So, you know, look into a good podiatrist that's used to dealing with surgery and diabetics, and hopefully
what do you do? How do you know that when you look at a patient's foot that they have bad circulation?
It's very easy to in 2 minutes or less, you can tell. You put your hand on their foot, Alan. There's two pulses, one on the top of each foot and one on near the ankle. Just like you can feel the pulse in your neck or your wrist, you should be able to feel the pulses in the feet. They should have hair on the toes. They should have normal color. The skin shouldn't be dry or scaly. So if it has, you know, normal color with good pulses and hair growth and the skin's not too dry and the patient doesn't get cramps when they're walking and have to stop, you can pretty much know. And you can also test, too.
So if you're being aggressive, then what do you do in terms of, let's say you find somebody, the foot looks okay, you find circulation problems. What do you do?
Well, good question. And just to differentiate, circulation problems and neuropathy are two separate things.
Okay.
Neuropathy are bad nerves and circulation is bad vessels, bad arteries.
Yeah.
You can have neuropathy and perfectly good circulation. So that's very common. A lot of people get that confused. So it's a really, really good question.
But what if you have bad circulation?
If you have bad circulation, then we're going to send you to the vascular doctor,
uh-huh.
who's going to determine if you have a blockage and need a stent or something to open up the vessels like they do around the heart.
I see.
And then they can get the blood flowing again.
That's great. Okay, yep. Thank you very much for that. All right. So let's go to Dick in Longmeadow. Dick, you're on.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm talking about, again, somebody who had some pressure ulcers or decubitus ulcers in the foot. Just to come back to that, I was reading where about half of these show that serum albumin in a lot of these patients tanks to about 50%.
Yes.
And with serum albumin down, these things start to really proliferate. And the other factor I was reading about was that they were using like a 9%, after it was debrided, a 9% Dakin solution to clean it out. And then the podiatrist recommended 40 to 60 grams of clean protein a day for at least 6 months. And I was just wondering if you could comment on that.
Well, certainly, whenever somebody is a diabetic or has an ulcer, you have the whole medical team on it. It's not just the podiatrist. You have their primary care physician, the endocrinologist. And those are things that are looked at, and serum albumin should be brought to normal levels.
And when do those guys talk to each other?
We have computers now. We actually.
Well, isn't there a problem that doctors in all these fields don't talk to each other?
Absolutely.
Enough? Yeah.
Absolutely. And but thankfully, with electronic medical records, that's at least getting each other's records nowadays is very helpful. And one day it'll actually be more efficient, and those documents will spread around to each other. But the Dakin solutions have been around for. I've been in practice 30 years. I use Dakin solutions in my residency for treating wounds, and it's been around forever. And, you know, protein, of course, you have issues. You have to be involved with making sure that whatever your issues are, you're getting proper nutrition. I'm not going to comment on 60 grams or this or that. That's up to the patients and their doctors. But certainly they want to make sure that they have healing potential. And that's why someone is directed to healing centers to really give them a good overview of why they're not healing, not just try to get it healed. So good comments, Dick, and appreciate your reading.
Thanks, Dick. We're moving on here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And we'll go to Thomas in Woodstock. Okay, Thomas in Woodstock, you're on. Thomas? Hello, Thomas? Thomas?
Okay. And my neighbor in Woodstock, too.
You know him? You know Thomas? Okay. All right, let's go to Dale in White Creek. Dale in White Creek, you're on.
Yes. I'm 65 years old, and in my 40s, I was diagnosed as having patellofemoral syndrome. I went to a series of sports doctors who all looked at my knee and surrounding muscles, but yet they haven't had anything really to offer of value. Since I was a little child, my ankles have pronated severely, and I'm wondering if the pronation of the ankles is causing the patellofemoral syndrome.
Great question, and that is actually, just so you know for yourself, it's patella, because that's the patella tendon along the knee that starts with a P. So just so you have it right for yourself in the future when you see other doctors. Yeah, patellofemoral syndrome is a problem surrounding the knee area where you're getting issues from the tendon not being stabilized, and certainly the ankle pronation will pull the knee out of alignment, which will pull the tendon out of alignment, and of course create issues surrounding your knee or under your kneecap with the cartilage or the tendon. So obviously you've had this for 25 years, Dale, so whether or not you can be fixed, cured, helped, I certainly would look into helping the ankle pronation with a really good pair of custom orthotics that can hold you straight.
The women. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dale.
What about Ritchie or Arizona?
Those are good braces. We deal a lot with those types of braces. So if your ankles are really over and they can't be held with an in-shoe orthotic, then those types of braces are braces that come out over the shoe, around the ankle, and they're fabulous braces, and they really work very well. So if you need them, that's something that...
Do you have them, Dale?
Yeah.
Do you have them?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really great braces, and they will stabilize the ankle and hopefully stabilize your knee, too.
Dale, got to go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay,
let's go to Susan in Pottown in Poughkeepsie. Susan, you're on.
Hi, thank you. My question pertains to specialty shoes. My husband is treated for severe neuropathy. He's got a whole range of issues affecting his feet. He's been through all the things you've mentioned. Not all those things are in place, the vascular people, treating edema, the podiatry. He goes to a wound care center because he does have an ulcer we're having trouble with on his great toe. Mm-hmm. And he has these very, very special AFOs, and he has all kinds of special shoes. Mm-hmm. So we have all these things going on. We're having trouble getting the ulcer to completely heal because we know that there's still pressure on it, and we've been to a lot of shoes. We've spent a lot of money on different kinds of shoes. We've been to a specialty shoe store with a podorthist. We've been to a special shoe guy who ordered extra special shoes and actually made new soles for them. We just can't quite seem to get the shoe part under control and get his foot in such a way so that the pressure stops going on that spot.
Okay,
and I know,
Susan, I'm going to stop you because we have so many people. I want to get an answer. Go ahead.
Really, I just want to know where to go for the best help with shoes. Really.
Well, you've been through a lot of great places, Susan, and the ulcer and the wound is probably in the bottom of his foot is my guess, and there may be an underlying bony deformity that keeps making that happen. I know you're doing your best you can conservatively. Sometimes we'll use something called a crow walker. It's a temporary brace that will offload the foot even better. It's called a crow walker. And after that, we do make, not in our office, but we do recommend custom molded shoes from his foot. And we do send people to people that do make those specialty shoes. But underneath all of that, sometimes you do have to look at a small procedure to remove a bone spur to get rid of the underlying irritation. Again, I don't know if he's even a candidate for that, but all those things.
Well, it's not on the bottom. It's on really like the top of his toe because of the movement. But did you say custom molded shoes?
That's one of the things, a custom molded shoe.
Okay, that's a new idea for us. Where would we seek
something? If you contact our office, we'll give you the name of somebody.
Give me that website address.
The website to contact us is hvfa.com, HudsonValleyFootAssociates.com, hvfa.com, and you can speak to one of our staff, and they'll help you with that.
Susan, we're trying to get everybody in. Thanks
a
lot.
Yeah, bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Pam in Salisbury. Pam, you're on.
Hi. Oh, thank you very much. Since last summer, I've had like almost constant, but not quite, like needles, pins and needles. I'm on kind of in the metatarsal sole of my left foot. My doctors thought that my ehrlichiosis hadn't been treated adequately, and I was on 6 weeks of doxycycline. I developed all kinds of stomach problems that went pain front to back. They thought it was stomach. I was treated for an ulcer, tested up the wazoo. And I finally recently had a MRI of my spine, and I have advanced degenerative disc disease. So I...
What's the question, Pam?
I have a lot of back pain. I'm wondering if that could be causing
yes,
the
back pain, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, can definitely cause foot neuropathy or extremity neuropathy. So compression on the discs could cause numbness, burning in the bottom of the foot area.
Sure.
So that could very well be it. And that's a challenging problem, Pam, but good luck.
Hey, good luck, Pam. I'm so sorry we don't have more time, but we're just trying to get everybody in. Thanks again. All right, let's go to Lynn in Albany. Okay, Lynn, you're on.
Hi. I had neuroma surgery about 10 years ago, and then about 5 years ago had hammer toe and bunion surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And my middle toe sticks up from the rest of the toes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a terrible callus on the bottom of my foot mm-hmm. at the site of the neuroma surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is there anything that I could do about that?
Well, the toe that sticks up certainly needs to be brought down because that's probably causing the ball of the foot to get extra pressure. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction, law of physics. So if one toe is up, it's going to drop the metatarsal down. You can certainly offload it with cushions, pads, orthotics, strappings, and shoes, and so on and so forth. But you may need one more procedure, Lynn, to get that toe back in alignment to get that callus better.
Okay, Lynn,
thank you very much.
That's pretty cool. Okay, very quickly, James, and it's got to be quick, real quick. James, what do you got?
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I have a genetic sort of defect in my right ankle. I had a total rebuild about 8 years ago, and my current physician is recommending that I have a replacement of the joint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very reluctant to have this surgery because of the recuperation time, and I'm wondering if you have any suggestions.
It, you know, again, it's a last resort type procedure, but ankle replacement, ankle fusion are done commonly for people that have end-stage arthritis and can't ambulate and perform normal functions. So I highly recommend the procedures. If it's indicated, yes, it's a long recovery, up to 12 weeks, plus some rehabilitation, but the end result can be excellent.
Thank you very much. Oh, listen, we are out of time. I hate to say that, and I'm so sorry to Mary from Skenevis. We're not going to be able to get you today, but we hope that we can the next time. Again, give us your website address again.
We could have gone for hours today.
Yeah, we could have.
HVFA.com, and we're happy to be opening in Albany and Coxsackie in the coming few weeks.
Dr. Doug Tooman, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Joe Makowitz for answering the phones today. Boy, was he busy. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall, and I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned now for a news update.